Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Starscream here, and I am Lord and Master of all things Transformers. Don't tell Megatron.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to all things Transformers.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is
TFG1 and Mike
and
Optimus Solo.
Yay! So today we are going to give you our reactions to the new Transformers trailers and then our spoiler-filled review of Transformers Earthspark Season 1.
Yes, we are here. We are no longer waiting.
You and I, Steve and I have talked. Now, this is the first time, I think, since the Top 100 Transformers Countdown that Optimus Solo has been back on the show. So, welcome back.
Thank you.
Since you were on the Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown, running that show with us and for us and all that good stuff, you have moved from Illinois to Florida. So, you went from one hell to the other hell. And
it's only a 20-hour drive for those that are wondering.
It's only 20.
It's only 20 hours. It's no big deal.
Times.
Yeah. Jeez. So a lot has changed in Kevin's life since the last time he was on the show. And since then, you know, Steve and I have talked about it was I always want to call it something else Moon, but it's High Moon Studios that did the original. Yeah. Did the original War for Cybertron and Fall for Cybertron video games, which are
arguably, still my favorite games.
Yep. Which are arguably two of the best Transformers games we've ever had. Well, Hasbro has now partnered up with, what's the studio's name? Oh, it's Studio something. Damn it, what is it? Anyway, we've got a new Transformers video game coming at some point called Transformers Reactivate.
It was originally going to be called Rise, but they changed the name because it was too confusing with Rise of the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I'm thankful.
Yes. That's, yeah. And I think it's cool because, you know, you have this really, really weird, not weird story, but this trailer, man, like, it just...
This ain't working. We should melt it down for ammo.
And we're live.
Come on, big guy.
Sequencing at 17%. Loading memory core now.
It's all the same. Only the names will change. And every day seems we're wasting away. Another place where the faces are so cold. I drive all night just to get back home.
All right, let's get lucky.
I'm a cowboy on a steel. Dead or alive.
It feels like Transformers video games have like crossed over into, I mean, I know there's a bunch of motion capture things out there and everything else, but this trailer just felt like we're embracing all the humans in the Transformers franchise now, or we're going to introduce all these new humans. And in the trailer, there were bots and there were this and there were that, but it really felt like part of whatever this video game story is going to be is solely based around the humans. Kevin, what was your reaction to the game trailer?
Well, to be fair, I am not a gamer, so I don't play games anymore. But I did play, or I did watch one of my friends play, or I don't think I ever played myself, but I was there while he was playing the other two, and I've seen enough of the footage from the two that you just referenced before from the War for Cybertron, et cetera. And those two games are incredible looking and just seem like they're really fun. I also had to watch a lot of them to capture different screenshots and voice acting work and stuff like that. So I'm familiar with those two games. When I watched the trailer for this new game, and I am, I also need to apologize right up front because I feel like anybody that listens to this episode is going to think I'm just overly negative and negative Nancy, Debbie Downer, just blah, blah, blah. I am not trying to rain on anybody's parade. If you like things like them, I'm just here to give my opinion. And when I watched that trailer for that video game, I thought that was everything that I dislike about the Transformers series wrapped up in one little trailer. It's way too much human involvement. It's way too much human bad guys or all that stuff that I just wish they would move far, far away from. And it also, from a visual standpoint, just looked too Bay-ish as far as the designs go. So I don't like the Bay designs, and I don't like humans taking the main role in my Transformers stuff, and this is seemingly doing both of those things. So I was not a fan of the trailer.
Steve?
I wanted to like it, but it, originally when I saw the trailer, I didn't know exactly what it was I was watching. I had no idea it had anything to do with Transformers, which is automatically a bad sign.
Yeah.
What I liked about War for Cybertron, it was on Cybertron, and it was all the Autobots and Decepticons. What I would love to see, an actual, like, something that kind of transpires the different Transformers generations, whether it be Beast Wars, whether it be, you know, Legacy, just, you know, various things. I don't really want humans in my Transformers. It seems to muddy it down, and, I mean, if you're going for a Rescue Bots thing, great, but otherwise, like, please leave them out.
Yeah, if you think back about, like, no matter what series or what generation you watched, whether it be Beast Wars, whether it be the original G1, whether it be Prime, whether it be anything as far as the, you know, the cartoons go, I feel like all of those series were at their best when they did not involve a lot of humans, or the series that didn't involve a lot of humans tended to be better. I don't know, like G1 for me was at its peak when it was not as much on Earth, when it was, you know, like the movie is the peak for me, I think, for G1. And that's like us getting away from the humans a little bit. Like Beast Wars really didn't have anything to do with humans, which is why I like that series. Like, so yeah, I don't mind a couple if you're going to throw them in there, like fine, whatever. But when they're always like this evil organization that's somehow either working with the Decepticons or just working against Transformers in general. Like, I don't know why everything these days is doing that exact thing. Like, we've seen it how many times now where it's like some evil, you know, organization that is led by some type of human or half human or whatever. That's like against the, I don't know. It's tired.
We'll get into the half human in a little bit, but, yeah, it's weird. It's strange. And the funny thing is, you know, you're talking about how G1 was, there were humans, but they weren't like, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, between the movie and the 98 episodes, I'm trying to think, I can think of maybe 10 off the top of my head. Spike and Sparkplug, Witwicky, Carly, Chip, but Chase.
But they really weren't that involved.
Yeah, well, okay, so they were involved, but they were involved in ways where it made sense, to the point of most of the syndicated cartoons back then were, you know, episode of the week kind of thing. Yes, Transformers had a couple multi-parters and things like that, but there was no overall.
Interested though to go back, I know we've all watched all of the episodes a million times and you guys have reviewed them, etc. I would be interested to go back though with the perspective of, I'm going to look at which episodes I rank myself as the highest ones from G1 and how that coincides with how much human involvement are in those episodes, because I just feel like the ones that I remember most didn't really have too much of a storyline with the humans. I'm not saying they weren't there, but So I get that they were there, but I was using the movie as an example because there's very, you know, outside of whatchamacallit, there's very little human interaction in that movie.
There's like five overall scenes between Spike and Bumblebee, you know, getting sucked into Unicron.
Right.
RC and Springer and Magnus basically babysitting Daniel throughout the movie. The
fishing scene or whatever. Like, That's fine. Yeah. Like, I get it. He's there. So we establish that they are on Earth and there are going to be humans on Earth, but they don't play a big part. And that's what my point is. Like, and I think some of the G1 episodes that I'm, you know, that had a lot of that are ones that I tended to maybe not. I'm just guessing because I haven't looked back at it with that lens, but I'm just thinking that way because definitely in the future series like Beast Wars and so many other series that have come out, I've liked the ones that are less human involved than the other ones.
I think all of us have. I think all of us.
That's why the first scene of Bumblebee made everybody so happy. The movie.
It was on Cybertron.
Just on Cybertron. They're like, yes, finally, this is what we've been looking for. And obviously, they don't stick with it, but still.
And it was also like the best Optimus Prime design we've had since before 2007, as far as, you know, the movie stuff actually looking like.
Right.
Optimus Prime, not whatever. And yes, we'll Michael Bay is, huh?
We'll get to that also
later
in this episode.
Yes. I mean, and Michael Bay is, he's still involved, but he's not directing these films. Like Travis, what's his name? I forget what his last name
is. Travis Knight.
Yes, I wasn't sure if it was Knight or not. I didn't want to.
He's not. It depends on what you're talking about. Like, are you talking about Bumblebee or?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Michael Bay's last directed Transformers film was last night. Bumblebee was directed by Travis Knight. This new one is directed by Stephen Cagle Jr. So while Michael Bay probably still has his hands in the pot, it's not his vision anymore as far as being the director of the films. Where, like, Steve, did you ever think 25, 26, 27 years ago, we would ever get Beast Wars in live action?
Yes. because Hollywood runs out of ideas.
Well, that's a discussion we can have.
They have to siphon it from somewhere.
That's true. That's very true.
And it's about that time where they're moving on to the 90s stuff, so.
Yeah, the 90s is all, you know, 30 years ago now at this point, and they're going to have to.
Those are the parents, you know, now.
Yep, exactly. Reactivate. I'm interested to see another trailer, whether it's a story, another story trailer or an actual. That was the other thing. None of this Transformers Reactivate announced trailer was gameplay footage. It was all cinematic, story-based stuff. So while I probably won't end up playing the game, I'll watch somebody play it on YouTube or something.
I mean,
Go ahead, Steve.
I may play it, but it really depends.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I am a stickler for, like, I don't know. I just want to be able to transform them. I don't care if it's like a war type scene or, you know, something like, you know, your Call of Duty Battlefield, you know, something like that. I could care less. Like, that's not going to bother me. What's going to bother me is if it's a really crappy skinned Transformers game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be rough. So, again, very interested to see an actual gameplay trailer for Reactivate just to see what it's all about. And then we had the Transformers Rise of the Beasts teaser trailer. Holy crap.
Fear, Prime. There is a darkness coming.
And if you don't know, now you know. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call the clip, same number, same run. It's all good.
Of all the threats from both your past and future, you've never faced anything like this. Let them come.
And if you don't know, now you know.
This can't be real. This can't be real. Oh, it's real.
The power is primal, everybody, because holy crap. Steve, what'd you think?
I want to like it. I really don't like, I mean, I can get over the fact that, you know, the beasts are bigger than what they should be, mm-hmm. you know, by comparison with the animal, you know, that stuff. What I don't like is, like, the Autobots and Decepticons have a massive amount of color.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the beasts and they're just, they basically did the bastardized thing that they did with, you know, the old Michael Bay stuff, you know, they gave them a new appearance, but they lack any sort of defining character there that, you know, and again, like, it's somebody else's vision. I can get that. But at the same time, I should be able to recognize them by looking at them, at least, mm-hmm. you know, mostly besides the fact that, you know, oh, they turn into a mechanized cheetah or bird or a, you know, a rhinox that, you know, instead of farting reverse, he does it through his mouth and, you know, primal. And so, like, I don't know. I just, and then the fact that they managed, out of all of the cast, they managed to get back, like, and I'm not knocking David Sobolov, but they get him back to play Rhinox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not knocking him for playing Rhinox. I mean, I'm glad that there's a representative of, you know, the old cast, but it would have been nice to have, you know,
Richard Newman.
Well, even then, like, at least Gary.
Yeah. I'm not,
I mean, and they got an SNL alumni, you know, for character. There, I don't have high hopes as far as, like, some of the voice cast and some of the portrayals. It's not, I'm not super excited. I'm going to see where it goes. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not, I do see that they're going to probably do a reformatting mm-hmm. of the beast modes later on in the movie, just based on the fact Airazor has a second toy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not super stoked.
Kevin?
This is my chance for today's episode to be positive. It's the only thing I'm going to... Maybe it's just because you're pairing this with the Activate game and the Earthspark series. And
okay.
This is by far the best of the three, in my opinion, as far as my excitement level, I guess. But I think it's cool that we're getting the Beast Wars segment... they're including the Maximals, the Predacons, and the Terracons. That seems weird to me, but as far as naming stuff mm-hmm. goes. But anyways, I agree with Steve. I really like the coloring that they're doing on the G1 Transformers characters. It kind of goes away from that Bay look a little bit and gives it some well-defined aspects. I'm thinking that, the Beast, we really only see them in bits and pieces, and I'm not sure if, you know, once you get to the final movie and there could be reformattings, there could be different things where we might see a little bit more of the defining aspects of those characters as well. So I'm holding out hope for that. I the size does bother me. Cheetor is so huge in that.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm not understanding why. And I need it to make sense. So that was, like, the one thing that kind of gave me pause, was like, why are the Beast Wars characters so gigantic comparatively? And I get a little bit if it's primal, because he was the leader and because he's a gorilla and things of that nature. But Cheetor was always depicted as smaller than the rest. Not as small as Rat Trap and, you know, some of those, but he wasn't on the big side.
If you look at the season one core Maximals, you look at Optimus Primal, Rhinox, Cheetor, Rat Trap, you know, you look at those four right there.
Right.
Optimus Primal and Rhinox are the two big ones, and then Rat Trap is obviously the smallest, and then Cheetor is kind of like this mid-range, an actual size of an actual cheetah that could, you know what I mean? Like, right. It was sized correctly, and you're right. He sticks out like a sore thumb in this trailer, and I don't dislike it. I just find it confusing.
Yeah. I'm hoping, my other hope is that because we're including the Transformers and the Beast Wars characters, that maybe it won't give them as much screen time to include a lot of humans. I mean, obviously, we're going to have a few. You know, I think there's four main ones that we see pop up in the trailer, and that's fine. Like, that's a fine amount, like, whatever. But I'm hoping because they're trying to mix the two actual Transformers worlds a little bit that – or character worlds, that it's going to mean that we have to give them a lot of time. I'm hopeful for that. I understand the Beast Wars cast is not well represented here. I do think, though, that overall, outside of Pete Davidson, I'm going to wait and see how he does. Like, maybe he'll be fine. But outside of that one, at least it is experienced voice actors involved with the most part, because we got David Sobolov, John DiMaggio, we have Ron Perlman, Peter Cullen, you know, so there are Michelle Yeoh. So there are, and even Peter Dinklage does much more on-screen stuff, but I have faith in that he'll do a decent job. So I'm okay with the voice cast. It seems like they could have put a few more of the Beast Wars actors in there, but I know that there's a lot more. It's a lot more complicated than that. And they're going to make Peter Cullen voice Optimus Prime until he's dead. So that's just what we're up against when it comes to these, like, mainline movies, because he has become even more of, I don't know, like, just the Bay movies really cemented his place as Optimus Prime. Like, it's one thing anymore. It's like, it's just to the not like the not well-versed fan, like the casual fan. Yeah. Like, that's who that character is.
Yeah.
It's much different than all of the rest of us who have seen a dozen different television series and games and movies and all this other stuff, that we have a lot of different associations with all the different characters. Like, we have four Optimus Primes, or, you know, depending on what your own experience is. So it's different for us, but I think, like, just the casual person on the street, like, that is who that character is. And I don't think they'll go away with that.
Yeah, the thing is, I remember back in late 2006 to 2007 when the original 2007 film came out, I remember, I don't know, 6 months or a year later getting the DVD sets and whatever else for that film, and Michael Bay saying, we couldn't make this movie without getting Optimus Prime. Like, and that edict has carried through over the last 15 years. He is.
Yeah. Even though I'm saying that, like, that they won't go away from him, there's just as much chances that this is his last time doing it, as far as a live action film, because the man's 81. So he can't do it forever, and, you know, heaven forbid he won't be alive forever. So, like, it could be the last time we see him, but I'm just saying, as long as they're able to go to that well, they're going to go to it. It's just like when, you know, they dig out, that's a bad phrase to use, but when they bring out James Earl Jones to do something in the Star Wars world, you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
well, he retired this year. He has said that he's done.
I know. I'm just saying, like, even he said that before too, and they still got him to do stuff. So voice cast, I'm all right with. The visuals, I like enough that I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm excited that we've had Bumblebee in between the bad taste of the Bayverse. Mm-hmm. So, like, Bumblebee, like, gave us hope again. Mm-hmm. So I'm riding that into this, and I'm going to go see it right away. I'll be excited for it. I'm not saying it's going to be a great movie. It might be a train wreck, but I'll be there to watch the train wreck and to see the Beast Wars on the big screen. And that's enough for me. I am a little bit interested in your guys' take on the selection of who's in here, because as of this point, just to run down, we have Optimus Prime, Optimus Primal, obviously Scourge, the leader of the Terracons. We have Bumblebee, who is apparently not going to be voiced again. Raj, RC, Wheeljack, a character named Stratosphere, a character named Transit, Air Razor, Cheetor, Rhinox, Battletrap, and Nightbird. There's some random, some of those are just random, like first times, or are they existing in the comics or something else?
Battletrap was from the Headmasters.
Stratosphere and Transit?
I don't know. Like, they aren't linked here. And they aren't linked
the only reason that seems weird to me is because if you're trying to do this thing where you're having G1 characters and you're having Beast Wars characters, you're not going to be able to have a ton, right? You're going to be able to have less than a dozen of each. So it seems like it's so easy to just pick, like, the best ones or the easiest ones to convert into the live action screen. So why are we having characters that didn't exist? I don't understand that.
Steve, do you know anything about... Because I've never heard of these. I'm looking at Wikipedia. I'm looking at TFW.
Well, Scourge
is
a direct translation.
No, Scourge. No, we're talking about Stratosphere and Transit, the two that John DiMaggio.
I've never heard of either one of those.
Yeah,
Weird to me that you have these two different franchises, basically, or two different legs of the franchise with Beast Wars and Transformers, and you're having to grab from somewhere else to create these new characters. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No,
but I know I'm always a kind of old, like, curmudgeon when it comes to that type of stuff.
And I think that, like, I mean, Perlman has done Primal before. That's okay. I would have loved, everyone would have loved, if they would have done the correct thing and had Gary Chalk in there for the first time ever, kind of thing. Peter Dinklage, I don't even, like, I would have to look through his entire, like, I recognize his name.
He's done, like, Game of Thrones. He's done,
stuff I don't watch. Great. Okay. but, you know, and Bumblebee, whether he speaks or, like, come on. Okay, so in the last, let's say, decade and a half, we've had multiple different. Yes, we've had the Bebop R2-D2B stuff, but we've had a number of voice actors voice Bumblebee outside of Dan Gilvezan, who should always be at least considered to do it. Two, off the top of my head, Johnny Young Bosch and Will Friedle. Johnny did him in War and Fall of Cybertron, and then Will was the voice at the end of Transformers Prime.
Well, and he did him in Robots in Disguise 2015 as well.
Yeah, it's a continuation of Prime. Or, you know, you could even get Mark Ryan back, because Mark Ryan did him in the other Bay movies. But, like, yeah, true. I'm more interested in them using Mirage. I could give a shit less about who's voicing that character as far as who got the role. Like, anybody else, fine, I would be excited for the voice. But as far as, like, I know everyone's talking about, oh my god, he stole Hound's Hall. No, his name is Mirage. He created Mirages before. It's not a holographic thing. It looks holographic when he does his car splits and has the police car crash into the water tubs on the highway there. Mm-hmm. But it's a mirage. He's not stealing another they're not using another Transformers product. And if they are, who really gives a crap? It's a cool effect.
I'm totally fine with Mirage having some screen time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The rest of it, Michelle Yeoh is Air Razor. She's an awesome actress. She's been in a ton of stuff.
I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah. I wish. And we don't know, because it isn't listed anywhere to my knowledge. I wish next to Cheetor's name was Ian James Corlett.
I doubt
they'll do that too, but I'm just saying, like, so far as we know, we don't know who the voice actor for Cheetor is going to be. And when I saw this, when I saw the trailer, I was like, ooh, that would be cool if we heard his voice coming out of the character. David Soboloff, always awesome. A little strange that he's doing Rhinox. Again, Richard Newman, blah, blah, blah.
Overall, Richard Newman, though, I know went through like a bout of bad health. So that could be, you know.
That could be why, yeah. Overall, I'm excited for this. I'm interested. I enjoyed Bumblebee. Ladies and gentlemen, it's probably the middle of December by the time, or early to middle of December of 2022 when you hear this. Sadly, we have not started the Winter of Bayhem yet, but we will be starting that soon. So it's probably going to run into the new year, most likely. But out of all of them, I liked the 2007 movie. It was okay. It was interesting. It was finally had live action Transformers, even though the plot of the movie was stupid as hell. But just seeing them up there for the first time and hearing voices come out of those, you know, and all that, that was great.
Transform. And
apparently, Stratosphere originated from the toy line of Revenge of the Fallen and Dark of the Moon video games.
Oh, so not okay. Strong contenders anyway.
No, not at all. You know, and as the movies progressed, me personally, 07 was, it was all right. It was, you know, nice to see him up there. Revenge of the Fallen was like, oh God, give me a break. Dark of the Moon was better. Wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as Revenge of the Fallen. And then it just took a downward spiral with Age of Extinction. And last night, I cannot wait for us to get to that movie because I've never made it through it. I've only ever watched the first 5 minutes of the last night.
To see Kelsey Grammer get blown up with a with a prime rifle.
What'd you say, Kev, about Transformers fans?
Oh, you were a Transformers fan. You got to watch it even if it's terrible.
Well, by the way, yes.
Transit is a Transformer that turns into a school bus.
Yes, he or she or they are. And yeah, I mean, Bumblebee was a cool movie. We finally got a good one, and I'm excited for Rise of the Beasts. I want to see it. I can't wait to see it, and it's going to be fun. Any other final thoughts, Steve, before I switch over to the Earth Spark?
No, I'm good. I'm looking forward to seeing what the next trailer beholds and maybe some of the other materials. Maybe they'll course correct some of the things that are a concern from this first trailer.
Mm. Yeah, and the director did say that more members of the voice cast will be released in the coming months, so that's something to look out for as well.
Very cool.
Maybe we'll get lucky and we'll get more Beast Wars cast. Maybe.
I mean, hey, it would be dream come true.
Well, the only weird thing is like Steve Bloom and Gray DeLisle were both in Bumblebee, so like they were already part of the live action. You know, they did voices, so it's weird that they didn't continue on into this a little bit, maybe, but we'll see.
Who was Bloom's? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen Bumblebee. Who was Steve Bloom voicing?
Wasn't he Thrust or?
I don't know.
Which character was he? I'd have to look it up.
Okay. I don't remember. What I find interesting is Wheeljack. Okay. What I find interesting, and I love this about his process, but Steve Bloom, I just listened to, as of this recording, a live, and I don't like listening to live podcasts because I don't like the live audience BS, but I listened to I Hear Voices with Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano, and Christy was sick, but Will was at Fan Expo in San Francisco, and Steve Bloom was there, and he and Steve were talking. So you basically have Transformers Prime, Starscream, and Bumblebee talking to each other. And Steve Bloom says, "Yeah, no, I go out and I audition for Wolverine every time." And Will was just like, "Really? They don't just give it to you?" He goes, "No, they don't give it to me. They don't just give it to me. I go out and I audition for it, and if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't."
Right.
Well, you know, it's just like he got Starscream again in Earthspark.
I think the weird part for me, though, was that the reason why I was saying something about Gray Griffin or Gray DeLisle, depending on what name you want to call her, and Steve Bloom was because the characters that they voiced in Bumblebee are in this movie. Like RC and Wheeljack are in this movie. So the fact that they changed actors and actresses is a little interesting. And they really went to some people that do not have a whole lot of experience. Not saying they'll be bad, but it's just an interesting casting.
All right, let's go around the room. Cautiously optimistic or excited, Steve?
Cautiously optimistic and kind of excited. I'm still not sure what to think, but I'll give it a shot. It's got Beast Wars characters in it. I'll give it more of a shot than I did with the last like five Bay films.
Before I ask Kevin his opinion, I just want to say this, folks. This podcast might melt down if the next trailer shows a Megatron and it's not what Steve wants to hear.
It sucks, you mean?
Yes.
We already got that with Kingdom. Well, they should have just hired me.
Very true. They should have.
Both times.
Both times. That's right.
Yeah. If they're not going to get K, do, you know, go for the cheaper option.
Exactly. I work for pizza.
I work for toys.
Oh, so again, I don't mean to keep bringing this up, but that pod, the I Hear Voices episode I listened to, the first job, the first voice job Bloom ever got, they paid him in pizza. All right, Kev, excited or cautiously optimistic?
I would say full on excited because it's Beast Wars and it's Transformers on the big screen, and I'm hoping for yet another departure from Bay. But I'm a little cautious because it has a release date of June 9th, 2023, which is very soon. And I'm really hoping they don't have to rush things to get it done in time and cut corners and stuff like that.
How long have they been working on it? They should.
Know. But if they still haven't announced some of the cast, that seems weird to me that, I don't know.
When did, let me look.
Filming began in 2021, June of 2021.
Okay.
I guess it's been wrapped since October 20th. It doesn't say what year. I assume that was 2021. So maybe they've had a lot of time to do all the editing and whatnot. And they're just like now going through a marketing plan of releasing this then and this, that, and blah, blah, blah. And it's all timed out. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. I am excited and cautiously optimistic because I want another good Transformers live action film. Bumblebee was really awesome, really fun, and so far from what we've seen from this, it's going to be fun. We hope. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and give you our spoiler-filled thoughts on Transformers Earthspark from Nickelodeon Studios.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Autobots! That's your cue to surrender. There is more to this than meets the eye. This is the Human Cybertronian Alliance.
Isn't he great?
Transformers Earthspark. Stream the new series with your family this fall.
Laugh, then cool pose.
Oh. Ha ha ha!
Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, we are back here on All Things Transformers. Transformers Earthspark. The Transformers cartoons no longer have a hub. They are no longer on Cartoon Network. They are now at Nickelodeon, just like the Turtles. And Transformers Earthspark. So, yeah, this is developed by Dale Malinowski, Ant Ward, and Nicole Dubuck. Nicole, I recognize her name because she was on Prime and a few other, I think she was on one of the Rescue Bots things and other things like that. Basically, they're kind of like many years after the Civil War of the Transformers, and, you know, Transformers and Earthlings are kind of working together kind of thing, and we have this Malto family who are moving from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Witwicky, Pennsylvania. Who the hell names these like Jasper, Nevada? Fine, whatever. That was the city and that was the town in Prime. And I know you want to make a reference to Spike and Sparkplug and the Witwicky family and all that, but really calling the name of the town a last name of a character, that just seems weird to me. Go ahead, what?
That would be the least of my worries with this.
Okay, well, yes. I like some stuff with this, and what I like is how different it is and how much it's trying to hook the young generation now. Like, I say this all the time, and Kevin disagrees with me, and that's fine. We're still friends. It's okay. The CGI He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, in my personal opinion, is what we had 40 years ago in 1983 with the Filmation. Like, it's that. It's this generation's child's Filmation thing. With Earthspark, after watching the first season and watching the 10 episodes, I feel like, okay, there are some problems here. There are a few things I don't like, but overall, I enjoyed it. Steve?
Well, I am not a fan of this show. One, I don't like the whole premise of Ghost. I don't like the Captain Robo arm. And I really don't like how involved the kids are. Like, they're almost more grating to me than the entire family in Rescue Bots.
Oh, wow.
I would much rather watch Rescue Bot Academy or Rescue Bots than watch this, to be perfectly honest. You've neutered Megatron. And granted, I get that he's helping Prime, you know, whatever. But the only thing promising it has is Steve Bloom is Starscream. And he shows up in a jail cell.
And he says, what, like a half of a sentence?
Yeah, but it's Steve Bloom is Starscream.
No, I...
So yeah. I'll give that a pass. But, I mean, the rest of it, I'm kind of like... I want to like Bumblebee. You know, they made him talk. They did, you know... They gave him almost a G1 aesthetic to his face and stuff like that. And I don't mind the designs. And some of them... Like, I really don't like Prime, and I really don't like Megatron, like, their entire face and premise on that. But I just found it very disinteresting on a lot of the stuff. I really hate the protoforms. Like, their characterizations, like, the learning, you know, the new bot thing. Like, I don't know. I just... A lot of it, I don't really care for the premise. It's... And I get it's a new generation of Transformer fan type thing. Mm-hmm. I found it incredibly boring. Like, Cyberverse was even more entertaining in my mind. And again, it didn't have humans. Any of them, yeah. Really.
No, it didn't. Kevin?
Alrighty then. For the record, I was super excited about this series. I didn't really know it was coming because I've been too busy with life to know what was going on in the world recently. And we have our TV set up and internet set up and everything's good to go. And then I'm like, oh, there's this new Transformers series. Like, I am all about it. Like, let's check this out. I knew nothing about it. I did no research about it. I was just like, let's do this. And I sat down to watch it and did not enjoy myself. Like, everybody else, like what you want to like. Like I said before, if this is for you and it works for you, cool. I am not trying to piss in your Cheerios. Can I say that? Yep. But if we're giving our opinions, I can only go with my opinion. And my opinion is that this series is absolute garbage. And let me start with a couple things that Steve mentioned. I think the Terrans are awful. Twitch, Thrash, Jawbreaker, Nightshade, and Yup, hashtag is the name of one of our Transformers here. That's cringeworthy. The problem I have with the Terrans, besides that they exist, and we're creating this all new thing for whatever. That's fine. Do whatever you want to do. That's cool. Whatever. Yes, they have personality. I'm not knocking the way that the characters are written. I'm not knocking the voice of any of those characters. I just think they're so bland from a character design. They're so generic. Like, nothing to me stands out from their character designs. Like, maybe they work for some people. I get that they change too. Like, they're more bland in the beginning and then they get some definition and color and stuff like that. But to me, still, the character designs are very generic and boring to me for all of the Terrans. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it didn't work for me. From a character design, I agree with Steve. Megatron and Optimus Prime are garbage. Those are the worst head/face designs I've ever seen for either of those characters. And we've seen a whole lot of different variations on that. I'm fine with Wheeljack. I'm fine with Alita One. I'm fine with RC. I'm fine with Soundwave. I'm fine with most of the other ones, but I thought the Terrans, Optimus Prime, and Megatron, and those are kind of your main focus. Yeah. Outside of Bumblebee, were not cool, not good. Bumblebee was fine. That's no big deal. Another thing that I have a problem with is we had G1, we had Beast Wars, we had the Unicron trilogy. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if this was a Bay thing and everybody else has just been copying it ever since, or where it came from, or why it has to be in every show/movie now. But we've had Sector 7. We've had Nest. We've had Mech. Now we get Ghost. I'm probably even forgetting some. These stupid acronym human organizations that are involved with Transformers needs to stop. Whoever does the next Transformers series, the next Transformers movie, if you have to put in humans, fine. Please, for the love of God, do not put a human organization that's like pseudo army, but not really covert, bad, whatever spin you want to put it on. It's still a stupid human organization that does not need to exist. And it was fine the first time, but we're on like 4 or 5 now in a row, that seems like, because Transformers Prime did it. The Bay movies did it. This did it. What was the other thing? Bumblebee, I think, did it. I could be wrong on that one, but there's been at least 4 or 5 different things in a row that have all had these human organizations, and I'm really tired of it. Outside of that, I just got to go with what Steve said as far as it just seemed boring to me. Like, I just kept waiting for it to get to the part where it was going to get good. And I was like, I'll give it the 3 or 4 episodes to like warm up to the series. Most TV shows, cartoons, you have to watch 2, 3 episodes before it can kind of establish where you're going. And then it kind of takes off from there. To me, this show really never took off. Like, maybe the last or the second to last episode was slightly better. But even then, like, I just was bored. There was too much human and Terran interaction. We got very little. Just look at the number of, how many episodes was this? 10?
10.
And we got, what, 5 Autobots and 5 Decepticons? I mean, that's not the exact number, but it's real close. I mean, if you don't count all the different cassettes, I guess, for Soundwave. Because you had Soundwave, Starscream, you had a couple Seekers, Swindle, you know what I mean? And for the Autobots, you had Bumblebee, Alita One, RC, Wheeljack, and Prime. Like, that's it. I was waiting for, like, you know, even animated. I might not have liked Transformers animated, but what kind of kept me able to keep watching was the fact that we kept getting
new robots,
or an episode focused on this character that had been a side character or background character, or a new person that we knew, like, oh, here's Shockwave coming in, or here's Jazz coming in, or whoever. I mean, I know some of those guys were there from the beginning, but you kind of get the point. And I was like, oh, if this series does that, I'm cool if they keep introducing more of that world. But it just, instead we got 6 or 5 Terrans. And that just didn't do it for me. Like, this show is not.
Well, good. And then they try to ingratiate it with G1 fans.
Mm-hmm.
With that little flashback.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. I just really quickly, I want to talk about what Kevin's talking about the 10 episode length plus the time length. So Hasbro over the last, I want to say, 5 years, and we all know this, and as soon as I mention this to you, you know, the Machinima thing.
That was trash.
No, I'm not, yeah, but I'm specifically
the only thing Machinima had going for it was they actually paid voice actors.
True. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we went from, I'm trying to remember, okay, Prime 2012 to whatever, 2014. Transformers Prime, and then subsequently Rescue Bots
came out about the same time as Prime.
Yeah, no. Robots in Disguise, the sort of pseudo 2D sequel series where Starscream showed back up.
That came out in 2015.
Yeah. So between 2012 and let's just say 2016, we had your still normal 26 whatever episodes, however many episodes for a series. Like if we had like the first 13, the second 13, and then a third 13 for Prime, and Robots in Disguise had 2 seasons, so it probably, I think it, I'm not looking at it, so I'm guesstimating. But my point here is, this is 10 episodes at somewhere between 23 and 25 minutes, because it, you know, if you don't include ads or anything like that on a streaming service. And it's good because they're going back to that, but there needs to be more episodes. So my point here is they went from the normal time length and normal episode count of Prime and Robots in Disguise to going to Machinima and, hey, let's do short form Transformers. Let's give you it in 10-minute bursts and do this and do that. And nobody liked it. So now they're trying to go back to the old formula, except the problem is the first season only has 10 episodes at that good time length of, let's just say, a 30-minute show.
Every show is going that direction.
Yeah, true.
I think the main problem here is that there's 8 writers involved in this first season. Mm-hmm. Nicole Dubeck and Dale Malinowski do the first 2-parter episode, and they do the final 2-parter. They're not involved in the middle, and it always weirds me out when somebody's like, they do the beginning and they do the end, and then they let all these other people do the middle, which I know that's kind of how it works, but it's just always a weird thing. But out of the 8 people involved in writing this, only 2 of them even have a Wikipedia page.
Well, and that's how Star Trek Discovery is.
Yeah, that's usually not a great sign. I'm not saying, obviously, everybody has to start somewhere, and I'm not saying Wikipedia is the end-all, be-all, whatever. It's just one page. I could go, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. But it's just problematic to me that so many of them don't seem to have a whole lot. I don't know them very well. I mean, I don't know their names. Maybe they've done a lot of stuff I don't know. But
they don't have a page. A big writing credit catalog.
Right. So, I don't know. It's
off-putting.
It's off-putting. Like it was. It didn't seem like there was people that were invested in, outside of the little thing that they tried to do with the G1 stuff. I didn't get a lot of feel that there was people writing this that had a whole lot of Transformers knowledge. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I mean, obviously they know some of the characters because they're involved here, but it just didn't have a Transformers feel. Like for a while I felt I could have been watching something else outside of the fact that I knew a couple of the characters were Transformers. Like it could have been some other robot thing with the Terrans and all this other stuff, like some other sci-fi show outside of the fact that we have Optimus, Bumblebee, you know, Megatron involved.
Yeah, and for me it's more of the way, and this is funny that I'm looking at it this way, because, and the reason why I'm going to say it's funny that I'm doing this is because out of the 3 of us, I'm the one that doesn't have children. I watched this show and I saw the robots and I saw the humans and I saw them. Okay, Ghost is what it is. It's a whatever. But, like, I'm talking about the family, okay? The Malto family. They remind me of Spike and Sparkplug and Carly and Chip and everybody else, even though they weren't all family, yada, yada, yada. And it's trying to... Huh?
It's weird because I didn't remember any of the Witwickies having some type of psychic bond with the Transformers.
Okay, no, that's a new thing, and that's fine. I mean, look, stuff tries things all the time, and I thought it was interesting. I thought it was kind of cool that we have this emotional, like, I get to feel what you feel kind of thing. So I know, like, none of us knows, like... Steve, Kevin, and I could all be sitting here, and one of us could be angry, and unless we hear it in the other's voice, or unless, you know, we don't know how we're all feeling currently. So I thought that that was an interesting way
to Except show. That it's never going to go away now.
Well, true, probably.
Once it's introduced, it never goes away.
That's true. That's very true.
It's fine to try it, but because it seems like if maybe if they had done it with one character somehow and like had a good way of explaining how it happened with one character, mm-hmm. but when they do it with all of, you know, the both of them, and it seems like they're probably going to do it with more people, I don't know, it becomes a weird, like, just gimmick at that point to me.
No, I think with the Malto family specifically, it's just Robbie and Mo that have the sleeves.
For now.
Okay, yes. All right, whatever. But the point is, in this first season, it's just them. They have their two Terrans, and then the Terrans have the rest of their three family members, whatever it is. And that's fine, because we found more of them, and, you know, it is what it is. My thing is, I like where the characterization is going, because I think this is a, and again, I don't have children. I have no plans on having, I'm too old for that shit. And I could see this as a learn, like, this to me is what Sesame Street was for us in the 80s. As far as like the lessons that this show, as far as like the family stuff and all of that, like, they're trying to teach children certain, like the whole thing with Thrash about, you know, him rebelling against everything, kind of
that,
like
that reference that you just made proves the phrase that you're the statement you made right before that, that you do not have kids. Like that is, yeah. This is nothing like Sesame Street whatsoever. Well,
no, but I'm saying like that was a teaching show, and what
this is not a teaching show.
This is not a teaching show.
Certain
this has a couple storylines that might have like a lesson in it, but that's no different mm-hmm. than any 80s, 90s action cartoon. You know, whatever, they all had that. Mm-hmm. Like they're not teaching us ABCs and 1-2-3s and whatnot. So I can't go there with you. And I get it. Like a lot of people out there love this show. It's new. It's for the younger audience. I get all that. I'm just saying for me did not work at all.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even that annoyed by the kids. The humans, as far as the Maltos go, didn't necessarily really annoy me at all.
I'm more annoyed by the protoforms.
I was annoyed by the protoforms, and I was way more annoyed by Ghost and that whole thing again. Like I just need to be done with the organizations to end Transformers that have to be everywhere.
Now, Steve, how much of IDW have you read? Not much, right?
No.
Okay, just what I've made you read.
Yep.
And I know, Kevin, you have not read any of IDW Publishing's Transformers comics as far as I know. Huh?
Unfortunately, correct.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think you should read them. They are very good. What I will say is that is where the Megatron, the Autobot thing comes from.
No, I knew that.
No. I know you, but I'm telling this to Kevin. I'm not telling this to you.
Steve. Where the what comes from?
Megatron the Autobot.
Well, I'm not upset about that. Like I didn't say anything.
No.
That.
I understand you're not upset about that. I'm not. I'm just letting you. Like this is.
He didn't have to be played. Like they didn't have to play him as such a goof. But like,
I don't think he was that much of a goof.
I don't think he would work willingly that well with humans.
He
would be a loner.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they had to rewrite Transformers history to make this cartoon work seems off-putting to me just from the get-go.
Yeah, I don't like that they tried. Yeah, I don't like that they tried to connect it to G1.
By the way, Skywarp and Nova Storm were voiced by the writer Nicole Dubuck.
Skywarp was Nova Storm. I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up.
They were both voiced by one of the writers, which is weird.
Yeah, you got to get your start somewhere, I guess. I guess.
Well, it's the gratuitous, you know, I produced it, I wrote it, I can do what I want.
It's like somebody casting their kid in something.
I don't know what the situation was there. I've never heard anything but good things about Nicole Dubach.
I'm sure she's fine as a person, yeah, and as a writer. Yeah. It's just when you have something like this. This is like Kevin James putting his daughter in He-Man. Like, it's stroking your power.
You mean Kevin Smith, not Kevin James. Kevin Smith,
not Kevin,
yeah,
James.
Yeah, I've done the same thing with, you know, right, the program I produce. Like, I voice a couple characters because, I mean, yeah, the ones I'm cast as, I didn't cast myself, but
I think it's a lot different when you have something.
But a throwaway, like I've done.
Yeah, I think that's a little different because you're doing a complete, if I'm remembering correctly, it's you're doing a radio drama slash, or do you do the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radio
and
drama.
I think that's a lot more commonplace in something, in that realm. I think it's just weird when
something that's going to be Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it's just going to have like, oh, this person was the family member of this person, or this person was a producer or writer, or and they've done it forever. I'm not saying, 80s, 70s, but you had writers and producers putting their little kid as one of the little kids. I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, yes, Skywarp is a main character, but she wasn't in this as much as like G1 Skywarp was in the G1 show.
Yeah, and more power to her. She got herself in there. Like, I would probably try to do it too.
My point about the whole Megatron thing is that he doesn't, like you said earlier about how you feel like Megatron would be more agitated or aggravated. I thought his anger came through like in the last like 6, 7, 8, 9 episode. Like, when he was going to Prime and saying, why are we doing this for Ghost? Why are we this? Why? We shouldn't be doing this. We should be doing whatever. So I thought his anger was more than enough for what this show is.
He came across as comic relief to me and had no intimidation factor, which is something missing from that character for me.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, again, they're trying to make him a good guy more so than a bad, because the whole point of this show is that Batman, Diedrich Bader from Batman the Brave and the Bold, is the bad guy as whatever is, what's his name?
Yeah. I mean, I'll let it play out and see how the whole story goes, and I'm sure he'll turn bad at some point, or they'll do something, this, that, and the other. It's just I don't get it. I didn't have a problem with it. Like, that was the least of my worries. But just from a writing standpoint, I feel like that's just someone that's like going over and beyond just to try to be different.
Mm. And I don't know where else we're going to take this discussion, but the last thing I want to talk about is Optimus Prime. Oh my God. Steve, it's been 20 something years since Optimus Prime screamed out in a movie, "I will Fong!" I was like, oh my God, they got Alan Tudyk as Optimus. They got what from A Knight's Tale to be the voice of Optimus Prime? And a lot of people thought, oh, he's trying to do a... He is not trying to do a Peter Cullen impression to me at all. He is trying to do a whatever voice he feels or the voice director felt that this Prime needed. And I liked it. I thought it was a cool voice for Optimus.
I had no problem with the voice. Just unfortunately, when he talks, you have to look at his face. Well, his face is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a problem with his speech. I just don't like his appearance.
I thought his appearance, other than, like, when he's got the faceplate on, he's fine. The truck mode I like. Oh, and that's the other thing. We cannot forget to talk about this. No, like, space bridge platform, whatever, for the trailer. The trailer just detaches and is on the side of the road. It doesn't disappear. That hasn't happened in 40 years.
I'm fine with that.
No, I am too, but that's my point. Like, yeah, no, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, that was a cool thing that I noticed, that they're doing this intentionally and not just having it disappear like it usually does. I thought that was really fun, and it was a nice little thing. I like the cassettes. I like Soundwave. I think Soundwave is cool.
Yeah, I was fine with the Soundwave and the cassettes. They were a bright spot for me, if you can call it a bright spot. They weren't as shitty as the rest of it.
I agree. On all accounts.
Anything else we want to talk about? Because I feel like we're just kind of.
I'll give it a chance. Like, you know, if the Earth is Unicron and they're eventually going to do something, Lord. Like, you know, it's all good. Like, well, I'll let it see where it goes, but I can't take much more Ghost.
I'll say this for him. The guy who's playing the John Turturro like character for Ghost is almost better than John Turturro. He's goofy as all hell and stupid, but yeah, I don't know. The whole you're right. I'm not saying you're not right, but like the only thing I can say to counterpoint your point is that, well, if the Transformers don't have a government liaison, then the entire Earth is going to think that all Transformers are evil and they're all going to destroy the planet.
I mean, in G1, did we have it?
Not really. In season 3, but in seasons 1 and 2... There were several times, though
they interacted with the government, we didn't have to create a whole strike force, strike team.
That's true.
Secret service team, whatever. They just talk to a general or something. Like, it's fine. Like, we don't need a whole branch that's dedicated to whatever. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're evil. It's just dumb.
Okay.
It'd be fine. If they had done it once, like, that would be cool. But we've had Nest, Ghost, Sector 7, whatever the other mech. Like, stop copying the thing that just came before you.
It just gets old.
You're going to be new. If you're going to do all this other stuff to try to be new by having, I mean, I know it's not 100% new, but you're going to have Megatron a good guy. You're going to have different genders, and you're going to have, you know, switched around and stuff like that. And you're going to have, okay, you can do the Terrans, and I might not like it, but do it. But you're doing all this other stuff to try to be new. But then you're just going to copy the fact that we have a human organization that's interacting with the Transformers. Like, if you're going to be different, be different.
Yeah. I've said on Twitter and Facebook and other places and whatever else that out of all the new bots, I liked Twitch the most. I thought she was super cool. I thought the way that she was dealing with everything, I thought that was really, really well done. And Danny Putty as Bumblebee, man, like that. Bumblebee's awesome in this. I love Bumblebee in this show.
In my mind, the Terrans are not going to be Transformers yet. I haven't put them in that category. I refuse to think of them as Transformers.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding, but I don't like them.
That's fine. That's what it is.
Hashtag. One of them's name is Hashtag.
Okay, yes, but it's a different culture. We're old men, Kevin. Don't you know this? We are all...
Didn't they try and do that with Marvel Comics at one point, like 2 years ago, and it failed miserably?
All you do when you do that, I'm not talking about being a different culture. I'm talking about when you do something like that,
you're dating yourself horribly. Yes,
all you do is immediately date yourself.
And it's like the shows that had a Motorola flip phone, the Razor.
It's just like, yes, I don't know. It's just like when you make jokes or lines in your dialogue, or when you name a character or something that is so in that moment only going to exist. Hashtag's not going to be a thing forever. You know, it might be a thing for a long time, but it's still going to date it. It's like, I just don't get why you would do that. You're trying to be hip. You're trying to be cool. And it's too on the nose.
Yeah. I mean, the names could have been better. And I remember when this whole
Twitch
show
was fine. Twitch and Thrash, like, okay.
No, whatever. That's fine. I mean, you thrash a guitar, you know, have an eye twitch, and that's whatever. But I'm not saying you guys are wrong at all. I agree. Hashtag is not a good name.
That's probably the worst name I've ever heard for a Transformer. Like, Twitch in you know, the other one is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Well, I bet I can hit more targets than you. Nice, Robbie. My turn. Lasers worked yesterday. Maybe my arm is at the wrong angle. Or maybe target practice requires different weaponry. Or maybe it's...
Think fast!
I knew I was good, but I didn't know I was the best. I wonder what else I can do.
I mean, those are in line. We had Thrust and we had Sludge and Slag. It seems like one of those types of names. We had Twin Twist or whatever it was, Topspin. Like, those mm-hmm. are, they seem like in that family. And Jawbreaker seems kind of, that's not my favorite, but whatever. Nightshade, hasn't that been a name of a character already?
Nightbird, but yeah, I don't know if
Nightshade, maybe Nightshade was a G.I. Joe. But Hashtag, just like out of the five, like you're going to name it, which one, like if you're giving those five names, like which one doesn't belong? I mean, Hashtag screams out at you.
Yep, I agree.
I am a curmudgeonly old man. I fully admit it.
I am too.
I like what I like. I don't like what I don't like. This is giving our opinions, so I feel like
get I'm off my lawn,
free and clear. I'm not going on somebody's status that liked Earthspark and pooping on it. I'm not saying you can't like it. I'm not doing any of those bastard like things. I'm just saying I didn't like it.
And there'll be another one that I don't like. So
okay, so we've clearly established that Steve and Kevin overall don't like Transformers or Spark, and I overall do.
It might be better than that stupid CG He-Man stuff. I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, Lord.
I actually would rather watch the He-Man.
Okay, that gives me hope.
I hands down, I would rather watch the He-Man.
All right. I'll watch it. Just for you, Mike.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What I was going to say was that I think we should all each give, like, for me, like, one negative, and then for you guys, one positive. Like, what's one thing you actually liked about, not necessarily, like, just one thing you liked overall about the show?
Okay, I liked Soundwave and the cassettes, and I liked Alita 1 and RC.
Okay, Steve?
I liked Bumblebee and Soundwave, and you've already heard everything I don't like.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the point. So for me, I've said that I liked various things. I liked various plot points in the show. I like all the characters, not all the characters, but most of them. For me, the one thing I disliked about it was sometimes it looked weird in the animation, seeing Bumblebee, Optimus, and Megatron in those driving scenes together. Like, Megatron is flying next to them because he's a jet plane helicopter thing. And then you've got Optimus and Bumblebee driving on the road, which looks good, but it just looks weird having Megatron, like, fly so close to them in, like, this weird militaristic formation. It's not even slow motion. It's just them driving down the street or flying down the street. But Megatron is so, because he has to be low in the sky because he has to be next to them. I thought that was a little strange.
Well, I mean, just most planes are a little faster than cars and trucks. So it probably feels weird.
Yeah, probably. I don't like where this potential human villain thing is going. Like, he's very Dr. Archival to me.
Yeah. Like that, but they're gonna almost do what they did with Clancy Brown in Transformers Prime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so too.
He's gonna become a robot.
Yep.
Most likely. And it's gonna be like, wah, 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 we've done this before.
And he's gonna unleash Unicron on the world.
Oh, yeah, Lord. He'll be Unicron.
Oh, God.
I am Unicron in the flesh.
Is there a date for season two? Is there a
I do not think so. I have not seen anything.
Me neither.
No. So far.
It was canceled?
No. No. It's not canceled. Yeah, I have. To my knowledge, there is no.
Yeah.
Can they hire me to write a new Beast Wars show where I bring back the original cast and we use modern CG and then we, rehire Bob Forward and, you know, a bunch of the other guys that used to write on the original the ones show. That
are still alive and working.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I'm sure that could be a possibility. I don't know if it's going to be a possibility.
And then we, you know, budget is no expense, so we bring back all the living Beast Wars cast. We do the season that never was.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, they've,
no, we do the season. We go back to season four, and you know we continue. You know, and they never left Earth, and they reawaken the Autobots, and then you get the Autobots and Decepticons, Maximals and Predacons fighting together, and
no Terracons.
All in their proper size, you know, so the Autobots are towering over the Maximals.
All right. On Steve's wishful thinking, we're going to go to another quick ad break, come back to close the show after this.
Terror in the skies.
Honor in the streets.
Platoon Cyberstrike reunited. I heard Ghost wanted you on the team.
Well, if it means working with you, maybe it's not all bad. So, Optimus, what's our game plan here?
I'm investigating several theories. Meanwhile, these drones will do a sweep to collect intel.
We Decepticons now face our darkest hour.
Yes, that's right, Megatron, because we are announcing that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get the TFG1 read done, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Peacock Pro Michael, as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and so much more, all in the latest Transformers Review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. You can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Transform and roll out!
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marcum 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marcum 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninibong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content. Till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
We are back, and final words, final everything for the trailers and the Earth Spark. Steve, what are your final words?
I'm cautiously optimistic on Rise of the Beast. I'm waiting to see what exactly the new Transformers video game is going to be. And Earthspark, I'd rather watch the new Masters of the Universe.
Kevin?
Rise of the Beast I'm most positive on out of the three. I'll watch that. I'm going to be there no matter what, because whatever, it's Transformers on the big screen.
Yep.
The game I'll probably have nothing else to do with outside of watching that trailer, just because I'm not a gamer. So that's not an indictment. That's just, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And the show, I will give it another chance in season two, but that's just because I'm a glutton for punishment. It was not enjoyable. Same. It's probably one of the least favorite animated series I've watched in a long time.
And for me, I am excited for Rise of the Beasts. I really enjoyed Transformers Earthspark season one. Like they said, I'm interested to see where it goes in season two. I feel like the end of season one was not anticlimactic, but it was a little fast. Like it was a little.
That's just because everything else was so slow that it probably felt fast to you. It was like the only time where it finally actually was like, oh, we're almost going to start going somewhere. And then the season was over. The rest was like crawling through quicksand.
Well, yeah, the reason why I'm saying this is because I feel like by episode 9 and 10. So that was the interesting thing, folks. For those of you who do or do not have Paramount Plus, and for those of you who have or have not seen this show, you'll know episodes 1 and 2 were one long thing, and episodes 9 and 10 were one long... Well, it was basically an hour, basically 2 hours for four episodes. So four 30-minute whatever cartoons. And by the end of episode 10, I was like, this battle is going well. It's going, you know, whatever, at a decent pace. And then all of a sudden, everything just kind of exploded. The bad guy kind of went away. And it's like, okay. And I didn't even notice, like, the Steve Bloom thing with Starscream is like a half of a second. And everyone was screaming at the top of their lungs, oh my God, it's Steve Bloom. And don't get me wrong, I would be, if I had recognized it, if I had heard it, I have to go back and listen to that audio, which I've probably put in here somewhere, but I did not even recognize, because it was such a quick thing that, you know, it was like,
you were sleeping.
No, I wasn't sleeping.
That's why you enjoyed this show so much. You caught up on your naps.
Anyway. Any other Transformer stuff you want to bring up before I run through the closing? Either of you, Steve, Kevin, whomever?
Nope.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. There are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching platforms that you choose to use. We are on Twitter still, because Twitter is still a thing, at geekcastradio for there. We're at All Things TFV3 for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. Kev, what's your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
Steve?
At SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well. For now, I am TF21 Mike with...
Steve Megatron.
And Optimus Solo.
Transform and transcend with us next time here on All Things Transformers, when we will finally start The Winter of Bayhem. Starting with the best film and going to the worst film.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.